Tonight as we read our text together from the King James 1611 Bible, God's wonderful word. And I'm going to ask you to turn tonight a very familiar passage of scripture. I've used a number of times. I want to say right from the beginning, I don't enjoy the thought that I'm preaching on tonight. But nonetheless, I feel like this is what God wants. And I'm going to try to my best to be as brief with it as I possibly know how. So let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter number 16. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 16. And I want to begin reading a very familiar passage beginning in verse number 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse number 19. The Bible said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the night together and the songs we sang, the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be back in God's house. I pray you'll bless the Word of God to every heart. Give us understanding. Help us, I pray, Lord, tonight to look upon those that are in the fields that's white under harvest, those that are lost and without God. Help us, I pray, to find a burden in our hearts that we might reach out to them with the gospel, that they might hear and believe and be saved. I do pray that you'd prepare our heart in here. And I'd ask you, Lord, to help the preacher tonight. I stand in great need. I pray for your power, your unction, and the liberty that can only come from the Spirit of God. Enable us, I pray, to do that which man cannot do, that is to preach the gospel with clarity and boldness and power. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Like I said a few moments ago, I've never enjoyed preaching on the subject of hell. It's not the most pleasant thought for you and I to entertain, but nevertheless, it is in the Word of God. And some, as one preacher said, the Lord taught more in His earthly ministry about the doctrine of hell than He did on heaven. And that might be so. I do know one thing, that there is a place called hell. People that go lost, die lost without God and without hope, shall spend all eternity in that horrible place. I don't enjoy preaching on the subject. I don't enjoy the thought of it. But nonetheless, people need to hear. Whether you're saved people need to hear about hell. It may burden our hearts a little bit more to reach out to those that are lost and without God, realizing that they need to be plucked from the fire. They need to be delivered from the power of sin and Satan, that they may not go to that awful place. And sinners certainly need to hear about it. You know, you can't frighten someone into being saved. You can't scare someone into accepting Christ. But the doctrine of hell needs to be preached anyway. And It's in the Word of God, and the lost man needs to hear about hell. He needs to know where he's going to spend eternity, except he trusts Christ and turn to Him and be saved. Now, I want to say right from the very beginning tonight that this is not a parable. There's a lot of people that believe that this part of the portion of Luke 16 is a parable. A parable is just something that lets in light to the Scripture, gives light to the Scripture, that you and I may have a better understanding of what the text is saying. But this is not a parable. I believe it's here that God simply opened up, if I can say it this way, opened up the heart of Luke and allowed him to look into this place and gave him a revelation to write concerning hell. And when he opened that, that is a real and literal place. That rich man that fared sumptuously every day that was in hell, went to hell from this text, is still there today. It's not just a fairy tale to be told to people. It is a gospel truth that people that die without Christ will go to hell, and it's a real place. It's not, like I said, a parable, but it is a real place in the Word of God. If you was to read, and you don't have to turn there, but if you was to read over in the Gospel according to Mark in chapter number 9, the Bible says there about a man's hand offending him and about his foot offending him. It talks about if his eye offend him, if his foot offend him, if his hand offend them, that it'd be better to cut it off or to pluck it out than it would be to enter into hell full with all the members and to be cast into hell with all the members. And it would be to, I'll get it right in a minute. Let me just read it. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, and having two hands and two feet, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And then Mark makes this statement, where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched.
Right.
That thought is repeated at least three times, maybe four times, in that passage of Scripture, where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. So hell is a place of eternal fire,
right,
a place where the fire shall never be quenched, where the souls of the unregenerate, the lost, and the damned will be there for all time and for eternity. I thought about the book of Numbers and how Dathan and his family, how that the earth opened up and swallowed them up alive into the pit. That'd be a horrible thing to think about. It'd be a horrible thing to happen to someone, much less be a horrible thing to think about, you and I. But it actually happened. That record in Numbers is as real and true as what this is in Luke chapter number 16. The earth literally opened up and swallowed up those families into hell alive. Now, that's terrible. But I'm telling you, it's a fact. I've told this story, but I'll tell it again. I was in Kenai, Alaska, preaching. And a young man that was a member of the church asked the pastor and I to come to his business. He was a mortician. On the next morning and have coffee with him. And we did. And we got there and we were drinking coffee. And he asked us for some help. He said, I was brought a 78-year-old man last night that died with a heart attack. In Alaska, they cremate many, many people, much, many more than they do here. And he said, I've got to cremate this man. So we went in and he let us look into the box where that old man was at, a cardboard box. And we helped him slide that box into that crematory. And he shut the lid and ignited the furnace, the back burner in that furnace, and it began to heat up. And we went outside, and he showed us around the building and the complex, and we went back in, and that temperature inside that crematory was already at 100, and it was already 1,800, rather, degrees Fahrenheit on the inside. When it got that hot, it kicked on another burner, and that crematory would heat up to somewhere around 2,300 to 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit on the inside. Then that man asked me, that mortician asked me this question. He said, would you like to see something that will stick out in your mind for many, many years and give you an object, an illustration to preach on every time that you stand up and preach on hell? And every time I preach on hell, I tell this story. I make no apologies for it. And he asked me, would I like to look into that crematory box? And I said, well, not really, but you've asked me, so I will do it. He said, no, we can't open it up wide because of the heat. It's intense on the inside. He said, if you'll kneel down back here about, and I did about 6 feet or 5, 6 feet back away. He opened it up just to, I don't know, maybe 6, 8 inches wide, maybe not quite that much. And there was that old gentleman there in that crematory, and the box had been consumed by the fire. The flesh on that old man had been consumed by the fire. Some of his bones were already beginning to fall apart in the fire. And yet his rib cage, I'll never lose its thought in my mind and what it appeared to look like. His bones in his rib cage just stuck straight up with no meat at all. And they were already turned blue on the end. And it almost looked like the fire leaped from one bone to another bone. And I thought in my heart, I thought, oh my Lord, how terrible that is for a man's body to be burned to such a degree is what that is. And immediately the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, preacher, that's not why you're here. It's not man's body that you ought to be concerned with. And it's not this old man's body that's on fire that will burn for a little while and then it'll burn up and be gone. And by the way, the soul is not that way. I don't care what the liberals and the modernists tell you, it's not like a log. Your soul is not like a log that'll just burn for a while and then it finally will go out and stop burning. But the soul of man will burn forever and eternity. And the Holy Ghost told me that night, said, you need not be concerned about the flesh. You need to be concerned about their soul that's going to burn forever and ever. They're going, that old man probably died without God and without hope. And he's in hell tonight in a place where their worm shall never die and their fire shall never be quenched. He is there tonight burning in an eternal hell, an eternal lake of fire that'll never be quenched. And the Lord said, don't you be so concerned about his body. Be concerned about that man's soul. Because of that, the soul does not die. We talk about we're going to a land where the soul never dies, where the soul of man never dies. I've got news for you, friend. A man that goes to hell is going to a place where the soul of man never dies also. That rich man that's here in our story tonight that was clothed in fine purple and linen and fared sumptuously every day, the Bible said that that man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. But it says that Lazarus died. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. It doesn't say one thing about Lazarus being buried. But it does say or talk about him being carried into the by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But that rich man didn't go to Abraham's bosom. He was not carried into paradise. That rich man died and in hell. And the Bible said that he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Now I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, if you die tonight lost and without God, you're going to a place that's called hell, a place of fire and a place of torment, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire shall never be quenched, and that soul that is within you shall forever burn in that lake of fire, forever and ever and ever it will burn, and there's nothing that will ever put it out. Somebody said, oh, said a righteous God would never send anybody to hell. I've heard that so many times I'm about to get sick of it. Right. But God doesn't send people to hell. The fact of the matter is that hell was not created for man. Right. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But it is a place of punishment. And sin has got to be punished. Yes. And either you will receive Christ who suffered your punishment upon Calvary, or else you will receive your own punishment in hell for all time and all eternity. Amen. I'm going to tell you that's a sad thought. Yes. And I'm going to tell you it ought to be an awakening thought. It ought to be a thought that speaks to every heart in this building and under the sound of my voice tonight. If you're a lost man, a lost woman, lost boy, lost girl, you ought to give that consideration. It ought to cause your hearts to turn inward. And to give real consideration to where you're going to spend eternity. I'm telling you, don't let the devil pull the wool over your eyes and tell you that you just make a fool out of yourself if you let people really know that you're lost and you've never been saved. I wouldn't die and go to hell for nobody, especially not the devil. That's right. That's exactly right. If I was lost, I'm telling you what I'd do. I'd make my way now. I wouldn't even wait the invitation time. I'd make my way right now to an old-fashioned altar by the grace of God. I wouldn't get off of that altar till I knew that I had peace in my heart and was saved by the marvelous grace of God. Because hell is a reality. It's not a story. It's not a parable. It's an actual fact. It's so sad that people are there. Some of my relatives are there tonight. Some of your relatives are there tonight. Relatives that I have, that I know, will go there when they die unless they get born again by the grace of God. They really will. And so will some of yours. It's a sad thing, but I'm telling you, it's a reality. I thought about the fact. I thought about the fact of hell. It is a fact. It's a reality. It is a Bible fact. It's a truth. There's no question about it. You think the Lord would write something in His Bible that was untrue? You think He would tell us that there is a hell and it not be a fact? It's a fact that there is a hell tonight. Somebody said one time that the Russians were drilling. Now, this was several years ago this came out. That they were drilling in the earth for something. I forget what it was. But they began to hear. They actually said they heard sound. Now, I don't know the reality of this. But it came out in the news that it was. That they heard sounds and that they never dreamed that they'd ever hear. And they thought that it may very well be the souls of the damned in a lake of fire that's there burning forever and ever. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Well, it's kind of hard to believe, but it came out in the news years ago. It definitely did. And you know, somebody said, where is hell? That's an age-old question. I'm going to tell you where I think hell is at. I've heard people say hell is inside every man. I don't believe that. Amen. So I said, well, I believe hell is just a place that you go and you're there a while and you're gone. I don't believe that either. I'm going to tell you where I believe hell is in the heart of the earth. And the heart of this earth is about 7 miles down, ladies and gentlemen. You realize that you're sitting 7 miles away from hell tonight. That's a reality. That is a fact. That is a scientific fact. That if the earth is like they say that you are 7 miles of earth separates between you and hell tonight. We ought to stop and think about that. That there are people there that are dying without God and without hope at this very moment. So it's a reality, it's a fact. May I say that the separation of hell is a fact. When that rich man died and was buried and said in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments, he cried out to Abraham, said, Father Abraham, said, send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in water. Just come and cool my parched tongue. And here's what the Lord told him about that. The Lord said, Abraham told him, said, remember that in thy lifetime you received this good things and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And then he said this, and beside all this, he said, there is a great gulf, get this word, fixed. I never saw the reality of that until today. It's fixed. When God said it's fixed, it's fixed. It's unmovable. It cannot be moved by anyone. I'm going to tell you, God's not going to move it either. There is a great gulf that is fixed. He went on to say that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There is an eternal separation. I'm going to stop right there and interject something. The Bible talks about hell as being a place of outer darkness. Somebody said, preacher, how can that be? If how can there be fire in hell and it be outer darkness? Have you ever heard of a blue flame? That's some of the hottest fire that man knows. There's also a black flame that is much hotter than blue. Amen. It's black. And I'm going to tell you, that is a hot fire. It can be eternal darkness and there can be eternal torment and there can be fire all at the same time going on. And there is. And the fact of the matter is that it is a place of separation. They can't get out of that place. And we say, hey, we that are saved, thank God we're not going to that place. You can't get there. The only way a man can get there is to die without God. And who would ever want to do that? When I was in Alaska, the pastor of that church asked me, he said, preacher, said, would you like to go and visit the prison, the local, it's a state penitentiary. He said, one of the ladies in his church was a warden there. And I said, well, yeah, I don't mind going and taking a look. So we went and We first went in, we met her. Of course, they frisked us all down and everything, but we didn't have to go through all the routine because we was with the warden. But we went open, she opened the door, and we went into this one room, and I looked at it. It was the most amazing thing. It almost looked like a monkey cage. Out in the middle of that huge room, several stories high, was bars, just bars and bars and floors and bars. You could see those men in those cells. Out in the middle of that thing, and their doors locked. And over on this side of the room, there were doors. But down here, there was one door that had one little hole about that wide and about that long right in the middle of it. And I asked the lady, I said, "What is that one little door over there?" She said, "That is solitary confinement." And she said, "There's a man in there, by the way." And she said, "You're not going to believe this, but that man has chosen to be in there. And if my memory serves me right, that man had been in there for 23 years. He had not been out of that door in 23 years. Can you imagine that? 23 years behind the door, seeing nothing but somebody's face through a crack, clothes through the crack, food through the crack, clothes out of the crack, food, dirty dishes out of the crack. And that's all that man ever saw of humanity. And I've got news for you, friend. You're going to see less than that in hell. It's a place of outer darkness. I don't want all this old stuff. I've seen them bury people with beer cans in the casket and talk about having a great time in hell with their buddies. You ain't going to have a great time in hell with your buddies. Amen. I'm going to tell you, hell is a place of isolation. It's a place of separation. It's totally isolated. I don't believe you'll see anybody in hell but you. Amen. And possibly the saints on higher ground. Now, I don't know any more about that than what I can read here in our text. But I do know that the rich man was able to see. He couldn't get there, but he could see there. He couldn't cross over, but he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. I believe that's going to be part of the penalty and torment of hell. That they're going to be able to see in hell. They're going to be able to see what they missed. He said, "Remember that thou in thy lifetime hadst good things." Evil, good things, and Lazarus, evil things. But now, he's comforted and you're tormented. And I believe that's going to be part of the torment of hell, that a man's going to be able to look on the other side and see what he missed by resisting Christ and rebelling against the Holy Ghost and rebelling against the authority of the Word of God. But some of you better wake up. Now, I got a funny feeling some of you in here tonight is lost. I don't know that I'm not a judge. I'm glad I'm not. I'm glad I'm not a judge because a judge not only finds guilty or innocent, he's got to be the one that carries out the sentence. And God is the judge of all the earth, and he's going to be the one that judges and carries out the sentence. And the sentence has already been pronounced. It is already pronounced. And a lost person will not escape the torments and the damnations of hell. But we're separated there. Can you imagine being, they'll be eternally separated, that gulf that is fixed from the Lord? Never again will the Lord ever speak to them. Never again will the Lord speak to a lost man or a lost woman that died. Oh, he did hear, but this is paradise. But he'll never speak to a lost man or a lost woman. Once they're cast into that lake of fire, they'll be eternally separated from the Lord. They'll be eternally separated from their loved ones. How terrible that's going to be to see your loved ones over on the other side and to be in a lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire shall never be quenched. A horrible place of torment. I can't describe it bad enough. I would to God that I had the vocabulary and the ability to describe the awfulness of hell, but I don't. But I can tell you it is a place of torment. And part of that torment is the flame. Part of that torment is the pain. Part of that torment is the isolation. Part of that torment is the fact that you'll be separated for eternity from the Lord and from the living and the loved ones that you've left behind, that's went on to heaven or else before you. And that's going to be terrible. I don't believe when God wipes away our tears from our eyes that we're going to know any of our loved ones that are in hell. We're not going to know they're there. But I think it's very well possible that they that are there will know where we are and what they've missed. by resisting Christ and rejecting Christ. It's a may I say it's a dangerous thing to resist the love of God? That's right. So I'm telling you, it is a fact. A fact. It's a place of separation, separated from the Lord and from our loved ones, separated from the land of the living. And it's not only a place of suffering. He said, for I'm tormented in this flame. Boy, and I've mentioned that flame. And it'll burn forever and ever. I'm telling you, and I don't know how hot, but it'll burn forever and ever. Tormented from former things by the things that used to be. He said, remember. You remember. And by the way, in hell, by the way, this man in hell had all five senses. He was able to see. He was able to hear. He could feel the touch. Somebody help me with the other two. Huh? Smell. Touch. Huh? Taste. Said, I want water. So he had all of his senses. Now, I'm not talking about these senses in the brain. I'm talking about his five senses that he has. Had them all in hell. Isn't that amazing? That in that awful place, that he could still see, that he could still hear, that he could still touch and taste and everything. In fact, he was had all of his faculties, ever been, all of his faculties, all of them. And knew that he was there. And I'm sure when the Lord said, hey, there's a great gulf fixed and we can't get to you and you cannot get to us, that his heart may have melted within him. He said, Father Abraham said, if you can't send Lazarus here, then send him to my father's house. He said, I've got five brothers. Now, can I say this? This leads me to believe that this man was a religious man. Because it said that he may testify unto them. I wonder where he got that word at. Might have got an independent Baptist church. Now, I know I'm stretching it there. May very well God, he said, that he may testify unto them. The Lord said, no, they've got, Abraham said, no, they've got Moses. They've got the prophets. In other words, they've got the Word of God. Amen. Let them hear them. Let them hear the Word of God. Right. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, that's exactly what the Lord is telling them today. You've got the Word of God. Let them hear today the Word of God. Let people hear the gospel. That's why I am so set on preaching the gospel every time I get. Do you think I could stand up here and preach on hell tonight without telling you that Christ came into the world and died on Calvary for our sins? He suffered and bled and died for our sins and we may not have to go to that awful place. Oh, He suffered our torment, our pain, our agony. He went through it all that we may never, that we may escape the realm of the damned. Amen. He suffered our damnation that we may never be damned. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you that there's redemption through His blood. That hey, that in Him is life. And that life is the light of men. I'm going to tell you that He went to a borrowed tomb and got out of it. I'm going to tell you that He's triumphant. He triumphed over death, hell and death. And He's got the keys tonight about His girdle.
Amen.
And by the way, a man that goes to hell will forever be dying and never be able to die.
Right.
You ever been around somebody that was physically dying and begged you to kill him? There's people in hell tonight that if it is possible, they'd beg you to kill them and put them out of their mercy. But they're in a place where the soul of man never dies.
Right.
It's an impossibility. My oldest brother, his sister's brother-in-law, used to drive a gasoline truck. He was driving through the state of Ohio. And he fell asleep driving that gasoline truck. And he rammed into the back end of another tractor trailer. And that truck ignited in flames. They told my brother that that man sat in that truck and begged the state trooper to shoot him. That he was burning in such pain and begged that police officer to shoot. You know he couldn't do that. But I'm going to tell you what, there's people in a lot more pain than that tonight. That pain was temporary. That flesh soon died and the pain was gone. But oh, the soul of man. will never die. The pain will always be there. It'll always be there. And it's a place of separation, a place of suffering, the former things and the future things. And by the way, he said, let Abraham go to my father's house and testify to my brothers, lest they come to this awful place. The Lord said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He said, no, Father Abraham, said, if one rose from the dead, they'll hear him. All this nonsense I hear about people dying and going to heaven and coming back, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe anybody's ever died and went to heaven or hell and come back. Are you listening to me? And they base their salvation on some experience that they claim that they had. Experiences do not save people. The Lord said there, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but one rose from the dead. He said, they'll give ear to that man. If anyone, somebody gets up out of the grave, they'll hear. He said, no. He said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they would not believe though one rose from the dead, and they won't. Right. I'll tell you what they got to believe is the gospel.
Amen.
They got to believe the fact that Christ came into the world and died on the cross for every man's sin, tasted death for every man, shed His blood for the remission of sin. In Him is remission of sin and forgiveness of sin only in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got to believe that. And so there's a fact, and there's the fact of hell, the separation, the fact of the suffering. There's a fact of the salvation that delivers from hell as well. There is a salvation that will deliver. Man, I'm going to ask Miss Hall to come to the piano. Will you come to the piano right quick? I want everybody to stand together. I'm going to tell you a story. While Miss Hall begins to play, page number 41. You know what, but your heart, you know, there is a fountain. 41. Just play kind of quietly. Several years ago, while I was pastoring in Tucson, Arizona, Deacon and I in the church drove to Phoenix to hear Dr. Monroe Parker. I don't know how many of you know Dr. Parker. He was an elderly statesman then, and he's passed on since then. That was back in the 80s. He's went on to be with the Lord. I'd never heard him preach. I wanted to hear Dr. Parker preach one time. So we drove all the way to Phoenix just to hear him preach. When he stepped to the platform, he never said a thing like I said tonight. He simply told this little story. He said, tonight, I'd like to take everybody in here on an imaginary elevator ride. He said, I want you to imagine in your mind that you're all together in this room and a giant elevator stops. And there's a gentleman standing there and the door opens and he invites you on the elevator. And as the door closes, everyone's in the inside, and the elevator begins to go descend very slowly, downward, downward, downward. And he said, a strange thing took place. Said as the elevator went down and further down, it said it seemed that you could hear the faint sounds in the back, down in the way off. But it wasn't sounds of song, of joy, but it was sounds of groaning, sounds of moaning and pain and screams of horror and torment. He said it sent a shockwave through his heart. He said as it went on down and began to smell something that smelled the most horrible smell he'd ever smelled in his life. I don't know if you've ever smelled burning flesh. But he said it smelled like burning flesh. He said it just got worse and the screams got louder and the stench got worse and said the thing began to fill up with smoke, the elevator. And said not only that, the heat was began to intensify. It got hotter and hotter, and it was so, said it was peace. There was no peace in his heart. It was all taken away, and it seemed like he was in a place of turmoil and unrest and just terrible, terrible place. He said as that elevator stopped and opened the door, said that gentleman that took him on that ride stepped outside and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to hell." He said no one stepped outside that elevator. But some of them began to ask, "Sir, please, please get us out of here. Take us from this awful place. The smell, the heat, the smoke, the screams. It's more than my mind can tolerate. It's beyond my comprehending. I never dreamed hell would ever be this bad. Beyond anything I ever imagined. It's beyond any sermon I ever heard preached on hell." He said the man very graciously stepped back inside, pushed a button, and the door closed. And the elevator began to go upward. And said as it rose higher and higher, said the screams and the shrills and began to weaken, the smoke began to fade away, and the heat began to drop down. He said the peace and the unrest began to go away, and rest and peace was restored, and they continued to move upward. And he said, but when they got to earth level, the elevator didn't stop. He said it continued to move upward from the earth. He said as it moved upward, he said it was just the opposite from what he had just experienced. Said he could hear in the far distance a song that sounded like the song of saints on higher ground. Said they were all in harmony, making beautiful praise unto the Lord. And said it smelled so wonderful, the fragrance was so wonderful, and the peace and the tranquility was beyond anything he'd ever imagined in his life. It seemed to be so peaceful inside that elevator, and it just continued to move, and it just got better and better and better and better. Said finally that elevator come to a halt. And said that gentleman stepped to the door and pushed a button, and the door opened. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to heaven." And said in a moment, a man stepped out in front of that elevator door. Dr. Parker said, and immediately I fell down at his feet. And he said, "See thou do it not. For I am not him whom you think I am, but I am one of his servants. I am one of the redeemed, even as you are." Dr. Parker said, "Sir," said, "as beautiful as you are to look upon, your countenance so lovely," said, you've got such majestic glory about you, such beauty. Said, "If you are not Christ, if you're not Jesus, can you tell me, sir, who you are?" And the man answered with this song. The dying thief rejoiced to see. Play it. His name, and there may I, though my last he wore a shroud, my sins away, wore a shroud, my sins away, wash all my sins away. As Miss Hall plays, I want to leave you tonight with this thought. I read in a book once where D.L. Moody preached a great message. And he said he didn't feel impressed in the Spirit to give an invitation that night, so he just closed the service. And I believe it was the next night, the next day, that they had the Great Chicago Fire. and the city was burned down. Many of those people that sat in that congregation that heard him preach that night died. Some of them died lost, without God. And they're in that place called hell tonight. I wouldn't want to close and leave here tonight without giving you an opportunity. If you're here and you've never been saved, and I'm as serious as a man can be, I want you to come to Jesus tonight. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll deliver you from that awful place where there's no peace. There's no rest. He'll deliver you from that, the horrors of hell, to the peace, the joy, and the bliss of heaven itself. I wouldn't put it off. I'd make my way to an old-fashioned altar tonight, and I'd ask Jesus to be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. And he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So why don't you come to him tonight? Young person, old person, I don't care. Your age, it makes no difference to Brother Hall. If you're lost, you need to be saved. And I'm on the authority of the Word of God. And I didn't do an adequate job by no means tonight. But if you die without Christ, you'll be company. You'll keep company for an eternity with that rich man. That's where he's at. You'll keep company with him for all eternity. You know somebody else you'll be company with? The devil. He's going to be cast into a lake of fire. You're going to keep company with the beast and the false prophet, the trinity of evil. They're going to be cast into a lake of fire. And by the way, you're going to keep company with death and with hell, because they're going to be cast into a lake of fire. That's not good company. You'll be there with every thug, every thief, every child molester that's never, anybody that's never been saved, regardless of the degree of their sin, they're going to be there. I wouldn't want to keep company with people like that. On the other hand, those that are in heaven, there are no sin. They're pure. They're holy. They're clean. They've been made righteous. And God can make that to you. Would you come tonight while Miss Hall plays through that one more time? Our altars are open. You come right on. Would you come right on tonight? Come right on to him tonight, please. Did you come to Christ? Have you examined your heart? You know without a doubt that you're in. Make no mistakes about it. Make no mistakes about it. It's a mistake that cannot be recovered from. It cannot be recovered from. A lot of things you can recover from, but not once you're in hell. You can't recover from it. By the way, there's gates in hell. God said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. There's gates of some sort in hell. I appreciate you being here tonight. Pray for Mrs. Hall and I. Some of you done told me that you'd be praying for us. I trust that you will. I didn't do that text near justice tonight. I'll be honest with you. I don't enjoy preaching on hell. And I've got to where I probably hold back and shouldn't, but I don't enjoy it. I don't know any preacher that does. A preacher that will tell you he enjoys preaching on hell, he's got problems. It's not a fun place to be. I'd much rather preach on heaven, the cross, and Jesus. Service, the home, the family. I'd much rather preach on these things than hell. But aren't you glad Jesus died for our sins? Amen. Amen. Thank God for the Lord give his life for us. Took our penalty upon him, our punishment. He took in his own body on the tree. Blessed be his wonderful name. God bless you. We'll see you when we get back. Take care and be careful. Love one another and pray for one another.